Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Marie.
What are you up to later? Want to join me for happy hour?
I'm all in.
And guess what's amazing? Our listeners and friends of the podcast can also join us because Brave New Teaching Happy Hour has officially launched. Cheers!
Cheers, everyone! We are officially hanging out a little bit longer after school with an extended, extra, private podcast feed just for you.
Yes. Members of Happy Hour get extra 15 minutes of the podcast, give or take, because you know us, we run a little bit long. It's just kind of how we are. But if you would like to get in on this Happy Hour action, please join us. It is only $5 a month. Head to curriculumrehab.com/happy hour and get yourself signed up, because when you're there, Amanda, tell our friends what we do every month for our Happy Hour members.
I think my favorite part is coming up with a new free resource for our listeners every month. And then we pretty much break down that resource and how to use it. We also like to have guests on to do extended episodes and even Q&A that's just for you about that resource. It's really exclusive and super private just for you.
So if you are like us and you like hanging out, you like chit-chatting about all things that are teaching, teacher life, and everything under that umbrella, join us for happy hour and we will see you there. Bye.
Bye.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching. Today we are going to have one of those episodes that is like a teacher sanity saving moment. We are going to talk about how to deal with the end of a semester, of a school year, of a grading period. But like really practically, we want to give you guys some tips and some strategies for how to keep yourself sane so that you don't, you know, lose it every time the end of a year or a grading period comes along. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Marie. You know, I love a good episode on backwards planning.
It's true. You really do. And actually, if you all missed an episode that we had come out a few weeks ago now, it was all about backwards planning, like the holiday season, both for life and for school, and kind of looking at everything holistically to keep yourself just on top of things and to be able to enjoy whatever season you're in. And it really does apply to any season, but we talked about it specifically for like the end of the calendar year. So if you missed that one, head to the show notes or just, you know, check out wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this one. It was a few weeks ago, but today we're going to talk less about like big life and get really super specific to teacher life in your classroom, how to just kind of stay on top of things in a way that doesn't break you for the end of a semester or the end of a year.
And that's exactly where, you know, I think I'm pretty good at the big picture. Sometimes I can backwards plan my semester, count up my days, but I really have to make an effort to do kind of this like zoomed in backwards planning when it gets to crunch time. So that's really what I think I'd love for Marie and I are going to share with you guys are those strategies, those things we bring to the table to help ourselves stay organized and not feel quite as awful as we did in our younger years.
Absolutely. Well, it's just a way to kind of like see the forest through the trees. And before we can do that, we need to cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, a podcast for educators challenging the status quo. I'm Amanda, and I'm a high school English teacher in Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm also a high school English teacher in Southern California. We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show.
So as Amanda said in the intro, she's really good at seeing like big picture and backwards planning like a whole year or at least a whole semester. She can put down a unit on paper without even batting an eyelash. I am one or the other. I'm either like super laser focused. I'm more often super laser focused on like the nitty gritty stuff, which is why we work together really well. Or I can see the big picture. I have a hard time balancing the two. And I think that that's just kind of how human brains work. So let's take a little moment today. And as you're listening to us, see if you can exercise some of the things that resonate that you also need to do, or that, you know, make sense for your teaching life and life in your classroom. Yeah, but we're just going to share what each of us does at the end of a grading period or the end of a semester to share some practices and some strategies and see what kind of genius we can infuse into the world.
Well, and I think what's really cool about Marie and I, we both have very different experiences with the way that these timeframes work out. So for me, I worked on a, I would call traditional year-long schedule. So I had my students for, like, let's say in an English 3 and English 2 course, it was 1 year, August to June, 50 minute class periods. And then we ended before the winter break. So semester one was August, like early August to middle of December. And then we would reset everything in January and then go through May. So I can speak,
but with the same schedule, kids, right?
But with the exact same kids.
So not reset every, you would just start, I mean, it's officially on their transcripts, it's a new course, same groups of kids, but it's
not moving. Even a new course. It's still, we continue, like it's just semester two. So like their grades, they get a semester one grade. I think that's half a credit. And then semester two is another, the other half of the credit, but it's the same course the whole year. So that's that's where my advice is going to come from. And I know Marie's is very different. So if you don't know it, Marie, why don't you let them know how you
work? Well, so I grew up on like a traditional semester schedule. It was like a modified block because I went to school. If you haven't been around the podcast long, or you're not like, you know, part of my little corner of the internet, I went to school in the same district where I now teach. I went to one of our rival schools, actually. And so our whole entire district used to be on a modified block, but like a year long, not year round, but year long, where we had the kids from mid August through early to mid June, same kids. And it was the same sort of thing, but we would, because we started later in August, our semester, and it still is this way, and it's so frustrating, ends after the winter break. So there's always like a week or two. This year, there's literally a week and 2-3 days, and then it's finals after we get back from New Year's. And so it's always like, cool, what do I do with that? But that's how it always was for me growing up too. And we had 45 to 50 minute classes, except then 2 days a week, we had like 2 hour lab or like block periods that would rotate through. And then I want to say it was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, my school moved to the 4x4, to a quarter schedule. And there's that we've got trimesters in our, we're kind of all over the place now in our district, but the quarter system has been really, really awesome in some ways and really, really hard in other ways. And for me, as an English teacher, especially, one of the hardest things that it's done is it's made it so that I only have students from August through mid-January and from mid-January through June. So like totally new batch of kids in January. Cool in that we get to like bust through some things. I see them every single day for 90 minutes, but also, like, I really wish I got to just slow down a little bit. There's a breakneck pace that sets in no matter how I shape my curriculum, no matter how mindfully everything is going, where I'm like, oh, let's work on depth instead of breadth. It's still a breakneck pace no matter what. So that end of the year, end of the semester happens twice and it's fast. There's like a lot. So I've got a pretty good handle on that too.
So as you're listening, you know, you can kind of like, first of all, like, this is really cool. Like I never really, now I've started coaching a bunch of teachers and getting to know people in other parts of the States. It's amazing how different we all approach this and how much I grew up just assuming that we all did it the same. I mean, it's just amazing. So take that for what it's worth. But I think, you know, as you're listening to us, pick and choose what works for you according to your style, your system, and let's go forward. So let me start by saying that for me, like I said, my semester ends like right around, like we would right now be in crunch time. So an end of the semester to-do list for me, and I would say like, I want to speak mostly to this middle of the year rather than the summer break for those of you guys who are in the Northern Hemisphere, because we did an episode not too long ago about backwards planning and kind of planning your end of the school year, summer stuff earlier. So we'll link that, because this time of year is especially unique and a lot of that's connected to the holidays and the breaks and the jarred timing. So here's what my end of the semester, mid-year to-do list typically looks like. I oftentimes had IEP updates and reports to send in. There's like a midpoint check-in for them. Grades are due for us at this time of year, which includes report card comments and, you know, extensive letters and phone calls to any students getting D's or F's. So that's on the to-do list because I had D's and F's. Okay. Not miracle teachers here.
Yeah. I was going to say, because these were real red-blooded human children. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So that was on the to-do list. And so I'm really thinking backwards. Like the last things that have to go in before I can go home and be free are those things. So then that means grading whatever exams that were on the docket needed to get done. And then as well as any kind of final, I usually like to do some kind of like a holiday or just like end of semester gift for my students. I usually give them like a sticker or something and, you know, something like nice, like something happy we would try to schedule in. And then other than that to-do list, I also had like some social things. I like to give like a little like cookies to my department, or there were holiday parties for the department that I needed to attend or prepare, or the association would have a breakfast that you had to bring a casserole to, you know. So like all of these things are floating around and really fun in like their idea phase. And then you get to like December 12th and you're like, oh my gosh, like you're starting to spaz out. So here's what I do. So very similar to the episode we talked about earlier is I put everything on the same calendar. I'm not separating my lesson plans and my to-do list anymore. Everything is the to-do list. And I put it all on the calendar. So that's the first step, is get it all on the calendar. The next step is, if you have the flexibility, schedule your grading days. So if you have an essay to have your students write at the end of the semester and you have the flexibility, think about how many days it's going to take you to grade it. If it's going to take you 4 days to grade this essay, make sure the essay is due 4 days before your grades are due, or 4 days before the break comes. But Marie and I know Marie will talk about this as well. I think the heart of this to-do list, and however intense this episode becomes, the heart is when you walk out the door, you are fully out the door. You yes. bring your water bottle home and that one fun book that you wanted to read. And that is it, right? Like, we want to make sure. So like, that's where the heart of this is. So scheduling your grading time means you think about, how much time will I need during a plan period, during a before school, after school section that I can carve out to get that done during school, so that you are building that in for yourself during the school week. I do not want you, no matter how tempting it is, to pack those up, take them home, and air quotes, do it a little at a time over break. There's nothing more torturous than grading a little over time. So please don't do that to yourself. And that would be like my number one recommendation. And that also leaves the question, so what do I do? I've already given them the final. Now I have 4 days. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite solution to that also, I have solutions for you.
Well, and yeah, we've talked about this a few times. So if you're like, I think I know what she's going to say. Yeah, you're right. And it bears repeating. Go.
It bears repeating. Yeah. So have a Socratic seminar, right? Yeah. Like, answer your, like, come back to your year-long essential question with a Socratic seminar, with a one pager, with a video essay where kids have to go on, you know, and just tie the year back to the year-long EQ without it being something that you assess. It's just something that you do. Like, you can put it in the grade book if you really want to. But really the idea is to finish the academic skills piece that you need to assess. And then you have room to do either a seminar, a project. You could easily do a podcast project in that amount of time. You could do a little mini poetry unit. You could have kids, you know, there's lots of things you could have them do, but the priority is you. It is you. Well, right now.
I will say, to kind of like translate what you're saying, the goal for this strategy that you're talking about, if you've got 4 days left or 3 days left after you've already given your final summative, your final. And so you are spending your time and energy grading that and going through and finalizing student grades. We don't want throwaway days. We want students to be engaged. No. We want them to continue practicing. Like, it's not BS stuff, but whatever it is that they're doing needs to be more output for them than it is for you. Like, fivefold more output for them than it is for you, so that they are taking everything they've learned and it's a stretch. Like, it's harder even, you know, in certain ways, because it's creative, because it's deeper critical thinking, because whatever. And so they have to use more of their tools than necessarily like the final asked them to use. And it's harder so that they're doing more.
And that's the reason that I gave my first example as seminar, because not only is seminar an effective and powerful way of spending class time together, but it truly is so summative of your time together. You really are going to get to hear from kids and like their growth from the first time you did it. All of the grading for Socratic seminar happens in the moment.
Yes.
In the moment.
You so just like, input those scores. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom as you go. And it's not a throwaway. And the kids can use whatever they wrote. Also, yes. They can bring that
whatever their summative was, they can bring that with them. So if you are going, discussions, and you did not have a chance yet to listen to our 3-part series on discussions, we've got 3 episodes that we actually just did, like 2 episodes ago was the last one. The first one is all about like how and why strategies and the why for discussions and kind of picking your strategy. The second one is about troubleshooting discussions. And the third one is actually like a play-by-play and giving feedback and how to assess. And Amanda and I went through a discussion from one of her former classes. So if you missed that, there's a workbook that goes along with it. Adding to show notes, just making sure that we throw that one out there. If you're a new listener to us, or if you like started those ones and then you're like, oh, I'll come back. This might be the time to come back, is when you're thinking about these sorts of things.
Yeah. And once you've planned from there, and I'm going to hand this over to Marie in just a second here, but once you've planned backwards from there, you now know your due date for that summative, right? You know, the due date for the assignment that's going to take you the days to grade, right? So I'm speaking as if your summative is something that's being handed in. Once you have that date, then you continue the backwards plan process. When do you need to introduce that? Back that up.
Right.
And now I want you to count the days. How much time do you really have between now and then? And be cognizant about what you're trying to start, finish, and wrap up now that you've probably got the last 8 or 9 days, like kind of locked in, and don't be flexible. Like don't compromise on what you, on the time that you need and kind of just go from there. So I think once that's all locked in, you can start to layer on top all of those other things. But by giving yourselves those 4 days or 3 days, whatever it is, all that to-do list stuff I went over in the beginning becomes a little bit more manageable because you've built in time for those tasks to happen.
And I will say, if and when it's possible, building in more time than you could ever need there are always going to be last minute IEP meetings. There are always going to be, you know what I mean? And so always, always being like, oh yeah, I could probably get through 20 essays. No. Give yourself double the time if you can. And I hear myself, like, that is not always possible. That has actually not been possible for me for a couple of years, but when I'm like really moving and grooving and I can, and I feel like I'm on top of stuff, the times that I've had more time than I need, it's always filled anyways, but it doesn't feel so stressful when those last minute things come in because I've got a cushion. Yeah. It's not so bad.
And I'd say my last thing, I don't want to get into it too much. This is more of like a grading discussion than a to-do list discussion, but really think about the grading process for your summative. You know, in my experience, I've gone through a lot of phases of this, but a summative for a semester, like a final exam, if that's what you're giving, does not get feedback from me, right? Because this is a skills-based assessment that's being scored. And so when you're scoring something, that should take a very different and lesser amount of energy from you, because you are going through the rubric, you are scoring kids where they are. This is it. Boom. If you really want students to reflect on that score and do feedback, plan that as a lesson for your first couple of days back. Yeah. Kids can reread what they wrote. They can look at their scores. You can talk about things like that. That's fine. But really think about like, what actually are you grading? How are you going to do that in a way that's efficient and appropriate for this time of the year? Because kids are not revising their final exams. In my experience, they've done that all year long. This is the final dance.
Yeah. I mean, and that is a philosophical thing too. And you and I are right. In the same mindset of like, why it's a final. You're not, grades have to be in. Like, how can you redo a final? Yes, there are some small exceptions to the rule, but yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Curriculum Rehab by us, the team here at Brave New Teaching. It is the first and only teacher PD of its kind, a course to help teachers like you by guiding you through creating your own personal framework for curriculum. You make it work for you, your students, and your unique situation, because nobody else knows what the kiddos in your classroom need the way that you do. Curriculum Rehab takes all of the resources available to you, all of the lessons, the assessments, the activities, all of the texts, everything that could possibly be there for you, and it helps you organize what you actually need in order to attain your teaching objectives. These are the strategies that Amanda and myself have used in our own classrooms, have developed over very long years of teaching and figuring things out, combined together to create this framework and these strategies that we can guide you through. This course will give you the tools you need for a complete curriculum overhaul or to start from scratch. Wherever you are on that continuum, it does it all for you and with you on your timeline. So start today, do a little bit more in a couple of months, and then pick it up next summer. It's teacher PD the way it should be, on your own time. Head to curriculumrehab.com/course for more information, or just head to the show notes for this episode. We cannot wait to see you there. It's finally time to take control of what goes on in your own classroom and create the curriculum of your dreams. All right, let's get back into the show.
I think I can start sharing my to-do list. My to-do list is different from yours because my end of the semester is January. It's right.
That's so crazy.
We generally end right before Martin Luther King weekend. So we'll have like, we'll normally have finals. Here's the bananas part of it. We'll normally have finals on like a Wednesday and a Thursday. And then Friday will be a professional growth PD day, legit full of PD. So you finish a final on a Thursday and then have a day of in-service because that's just how it works. And then Monday will be off. And then Tuesday will be the start of the second term or the third quarter. So my to-do list has a brand new course. It's first day of school, part deux in there. And like, as I'm hearing you talk, I'm like, oh, that's why I'm so much more stressed out in January than I am even in June. Like, in the end of the school year. So I definitely always have to have grades. I don't know about you, but my room is like a hot mess express by that point. I try to keep it clean. I try to keep things organized and put stuff away. But every time I do stations, it gets a little messier. And every time I do something new, there's a random pile of crap in a corner. Like, and so all those random piles of, oh yeah, I'll take care of that. Oh yeah, these are extra copies. Oh yeah, that's somebody's shoe, like that are in the random corners of my room, they all pile up and they need to get cleaned up. And that's something that I find if I start a next term or a new semester with like piles of crap everywhere, it just makes me feel like I'm behind myself, which I know is a psychological thing, but still, right? And then, okay, so it's grades. I always need to grade. I need to clean up the room. I generally am somehow participating in organizing our staff PD because I'm that girl. But even when I wasn't organizing and helping to plan and implement our staff PD day, that's like right after finals, I still have to go to staff PD. And then, you know, your mind is like all these new ideas, whatever. So like that's burning some brain calories. And then also prepping for the second first day of school is in there. So like where you were talking about, there's different like holiday and like timely things. I've got a whole new class to begin with. And I have brand new mixes of kids. Like it's all starting over again. I don't know if I can impress that point enough, but it's all starting over again. I just said it like five times. So I kind of go in like a three-step process. The first thing that I like to just figure out, and it changes from year to year, is what stresses me out the most. What is the thing that's stressing me out the most? Normally, it's going to be the brand new first day of school for the kids. Like, brand new kids, what am I going to do on that first day? Because yeah, first day of school in August, I'm doing stations. It's a slower pace because we're coming back from summer. They're not coming back from summer. They're coming back from a 3-day weekend. Like they're, and they've just had finals. So they're kind of fried, but like not really. They've been doing school. We're only halfway through the year and kids go way faster through those back to school activities. So they have to be different. They just have to be different than what I did in August. It doesn't translate. It doesn't quite work. So like figuring out not just what the first day is going to be, but then the second day and the third day, I can have an amazing first day and I will always forget the like third day, be like, oh crap, they're coming back. Oh, you're here again. I have to do something with you. Like always. That second week, I'm good to go. But it's like the third and fourth day that I'm just like, shoot, you guys really are coming every day, huh? Every day? Okay, cool. So that's normally the thing that stresses me out the most. But if it's grades, like if you know that you've got this huge pile of essays or whatever it is that's stressing you out the most, I would say take care of that first, seriously, because sometimes people say, oh, I'll get done of all the little things because those are the ones that are clogging up my to-do list. Like there's so many little tasks. The little tasks go so fast and those don't take as much, like I said before, brain calories. So take care of the big thing first and the stuff you can kind of go on autopilot or you can kind of just like zoom through. I'd say leave that for last. That's what I do anyways. The second thing that I look at beyond the first major stressor and taking care of that is what deadlines do I have and fill in my deadlines so that I know if grades are due on Tuesday, I better have my grades done Monday so that any sob stories, any accommodations that I need to double check for IEPs, anything, any counselors I need to talk to because I teach seniors, like all of those things that happen, I can take care of before like deadline for grades on like Tuesday afternoon. And then like I, you know, fill in backwards through my calendar.
Oh, excuse me, Maureen. So are you saying that the essay should not be due on Monday, right?
Oh, 100%. Okay. So, okay.
Did you do that to yourself? Because yes. I'm saying that because I honestly did. I was like, I need to give them more time. And then I would be like, well, why did I do that?
Or I would give them an on-demand on finals day. So listen, I'm not an AP teacher. And I know that like, there are certain amounts of some things have to happen in certain classes, right? In our special classes, like AP classes, on-demand writing is a thing. And sometimes that just needs to happen. And that's the only time it can happen. The most successful I have been at just being a nice person at the end of a grading period, at the end of a semester, is if we are going to end, if I have a finals period for the kids on Wednesday and Thursday, right? I'll see half the class or half my classes Wednesday, half my classes Thursday. Their last piece of writing or their last like big summative for me is going to be due at the latest the Friday before.
Yeah.
And then those last days, like you were saying, are going to be a meaningful processing something. Often it's discussion or something creative and it's something to keep them going and keep them critical thinking and stretch their wings, but in a way that's not super okay. So like our kids that are not as artistic get really stressed out by a final project being something that they have to be super creative with. And then that makes them extremely anxious about their grade. So I still want them to be thinking out of the box and stretching other parts of their brain, but maybe not make it part of their big fat final grade piece. Could totally go into the grade book, but it doesn't like the hardest parts of their grading needs to be done beforehand so that they can actually open their little brains and become creative.
Yes.
This is me hopping off of my soapbox now. Yeah. So I do a lot of the same thing that you do. It's just that the demands on me are different. The thing that I will say I always kind of, other than getting ready for that first day, that's just become a priority later on because like I would screw myself over by not being ready for the new kids that are coming in. And I'd be like, oh, I still have grades to do. Oh, wait, you humans are new to me. It's always cleaning up my room, seriously cleaning up my room, which is stupid. But like if I don't set aside an entire afternoon or an entire prep period and then like time after school or what, or like a couple of days where I have time to clean up my classroom, it will eat me alive.
So that is a big difference between you and I. That does not eat me alive. However, it annoys me. My favorite hack.
Anxiety spiral. Like I'm done for. Toast.
So my hack, and this is, I am going to say this out loud, but I love utilizing the little helpers that like to linger around. Like if you have some, like I, every year, like I had a study hall class and you know, these are like kids that I don't teach and they would just latch on to me like, yes, you know, Mother Hubbard. And, you know, so I would have all my little ducklings that followed me everywhere. And I'd say, my ducklings, can you help me with something? This bookshelf is a disaster. Oh my God. I love organizing. Well, that's wonderful. I need you to help me. And can you like, you know, alphabetize them too? Oh yeah. So utilize the little helpers that like to come visit your room. If you
the problem that I have though, is not, it's not stuff that little helpers can do. Piles of copies that I need to put into the right place. Like I'm a keep it all in my head person, which is a scary place to be.
There you go.
And yeah. I'm too controlling. Let's be honest. I think that if like a psychiatrist was listening to this right now, they'd be like, okay, controlling much.
Yeah. Recycle it, recycle them. Why do you need to hold on to copies?
I don't, in case of wartime rations. I don't know. Yes. Listen,
recycle them.
It's hard. I know.
Turn them into craft paper.
But yeah, so those are the things. Like once I get those big things taken off my plate, even like last minute grading isn't that bad because it ends.
Yeah.
Like it ends. And so like when I find myself like grading, you know, the night before grades are fine, it's not that bad.
Well, and so I think that we're actually both saying the same thing, because I think the reason I started with the grading is because that does.
That's the thing that breaks your back, right? And for me, it's the little eyeball staring at me and my space that's about to eat me alive.
And that's our advice, is to start with what stresses you out the most. But like intentionally get things on your calendar, plan and make space for them. Yep. I think we're so like tired this time of year that we don't remember how important that is. And if you're listening to this in real time and you have a weekend coming up where you just want to veg out, like this is to me, like this is maybe Marie, I'm guessing you're the kind of person that goes to bed every night with your sink clean. Are you that person?
You know what? I want to be. And I would say 70% of the time I am.
Okay. So I'm like 0% of the time that person, but like, it's the same concept, right? Like if you want to be happy tomorrow, like you've got to do the work tonight. Like if you want to wake up with a clean sink, you got to clean the sink tonight. If you want to get through December and January with your head still attached to the rest of your body, you've got to put in the, like, whatever it's going to take, an hour's worth of planning time.
Like empty your proverbial sink. Yes.
Yes. Organize your sink, get it where you want
to. Fill your dishwasher. Yes.
Yeah. And stick to it. I would love to conclude with just one final reminder, which is, well, actually it's two, but they're related. It's okay to say no to all of the extra stuff. Like you can't say no, I'm not turning in my grades. But like the third holiday party or the third, you know, ask to help with the thing, whatever those are, you can say no. And then the things that you do say yes to, whether they're for school or they're for your own social life, you don't have to do something stunning. Like if you're going to bring something to a party, bring something that you bought at the store, like bring the bottle of Pinot Noir, like don't go make hand crafted, blah, 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 unless that brings you joy and you really want to, like, don't feel the pressure, say no. And
this is the trend with us. If you've been listening this whole fall season, we were talking about like our fall routines, all sorts of things. Basically, the thing that Amanda and I have taken the most out of quarantine going forward is just the little things that bring you joy mean so much.
Yes.
They mean so much. And so for me, knowing that I'm going to have a really good first day of the semester really does fill me with peace. And so that's part of why that's a priority for me. Knowing that my space that I'm in is going to be a calming environment, that's a priority. That brings me joy and peace. A store-bought pie, because I get to eat it and it's not going to stress me out, brings me joy, and it's pie. So like, obviously.
Yeah. Well, like, it's okay. Or like find like the middle ground, right? Like buy the puff pastry, but then make the pie, right? Like have Z, whatever. But that's the thing, is I'm coming from a place of being I've been a recovering perfectionist, and I don't blame my parents, but I blame my parents. And, you know, it was hard for me to let go of this idea that I had to be everything to everyone all the time. And that mentality is rough all year long, but it's the most rough right about yeah. now.
Well, and you get this Pinterest version of yourself in your head.
Yes.
And then when you don't live up to your own Pinterest version of yourself, you somehow feel less than, even though like you're the only one who had that. No, yeah. I mean, I think we've all fallen prey to it in one avenue of our life from time to time, but you are right. This, as we are recording this, it is Thanksgiving week in 2021, American Thanksgiving week. And so we are feeling it. It's coming, the pressure that we put on ourselves. And so we're trying to stave that off and hopefully help you guys as well.
Yeah. Find what matters to you. Go do it and be smart about your backwards plan. It's not going to happen if you don't backwards plan it.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, I mean, we've got some tips for you. We've got the things that we do, and hopefully it's got your brain thinking like, what are the things that stress me out the most? What should I take care of? What should I prioritize planning? And then what else can I put onto my calendar to make sure that it's like full transparency? Here's the stuff that's going to take up my time, eyes wide open. So,
and really exciting next week. So in this next episode coming up, Marie and I are going to hash out exactly what kinds of lessons we like to do after the winter break. So Marie is going to talk about like her kind of like awkward, like, let's keep going in this.
My close out, my weird slide into finals. For
and
like
then I'll talk about my like reset of a new like unit slash like, let's get back to doing the bell work routine that we work so hard to do. And now you forgot how it works. So we're going to talk about all of our best ideas and plans for resetting next week.
Student first. Yeah. That's going to be focused on them. Until we meet again, friends, thank you so much for joining us. If you have a moment to leave us a rating and review on iTunes, we would ever so appreciate it. It helps other teachers find us and become part of the Brave New Teaching community. And until we meet again, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.